Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
I woke up this morning and thought that must have been a dream last night. I have a 2-year-old at home. He's going through a bit of a sleep regression at this time. So I was awake. I was up. I was doing that dad work last night as news came out from Shams Charania that the biggest trade in the history of the NBA, maybe even the history of the four U.S. sports, was made between the Dallas Mavericks and the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, you just heard it there. If that's the first time you're hearing it, that's not shocking. This news came out last night after midnight. It was like 12:30, I think, I want to say, when I first saw the alert from ESPN. And I saw the alert from ESPN first. And I'm glad I did, because if I had just seen this on Twitter, I would have assumed, like many other people, that this was Shams getting hacked. Someone paid Elon $100 and got into his account and started tweeting wild trade scenarios about Luka Doncic and Anthony Davis, which when I first saw it, I thought that can't be the trade. That can't be the trade. They couldn't have traded Luka Doncic for Anthony Davis, who's 32, and only one first round draft pick comes back. I couldn't believe it. I saw it was one of those things where the alert pops up on your phone, right? You ever see this where the alert comes from ESPN, then you tap on the alert and it takes you to the ESPN app, but the story's not up yet. So it's just like, here's the homepage. And you're like, well, wait a minute, what did I just click on? I got one of those last night. The story hadn't been filed. I don't know if it was what the deal was, but you tapped on the alert and it takes you right to the homepage at ESPN. There's no sign of it. So I go on Twitter. Everyone believes, oh, no, there's no way. Shams must have gotten hacked. There's no way the Dallas Mavericks could do this. Could you imagine waking up this morning, a Dallas Mavericks fan? If I were to give you some sort of comparison here, it would be like if the Celtics traded Jason Tatum last night for Anthony Davis. Like, that's what we're discussing here. That's what's on the table. A franchise-altering, potentially league-altering move that has a lot of people scratching their heads, myself included. Here it is, in full. Here are the details of this trade. All right, from Shams last night, the story was filed at 12:21. By the way, a story that there were no rumors about, like I didn't know anything, there was not one person out there in the NBA media, and that includes Windhorst, that includes Shams, that includes local people in Dallas, LA, and everywhere else. Not one person had this as a rumor, right? If Luka Doncic was on the trade block, don't you think that might get out? Don't you think that's something that someone might whisper about to Shams or Windy or somebody like that? Nothing. Nothing. That's amazing. Here's the report. In a blockbuster trade that will impact the Western Conference balance of power for years to come, yes, it will, the Los Angeles Lakers, Dallas Mavericks, and Utah Jazz agreed to a three-team deal that will swap Anthony Davis for Luka Doncic. The Lakers receive Luka, Maxi Kleber, and Markieff Morris from Dallas. I didn't know Markieff Morris was still in the league. I thought after Nikola Jokic body checked him, that knocked him right out of the league. I didn't even know he was still playing. But now he's a Laker. Dallas receives Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and the Lakers' 2029 first-round pick. Let's put a pin in that, but remember that. Anthony Davis, who's in his early 30s, Max Christie, who I don't know who that is, and the Lakers' 2029 first-round pick. That's the only pick that Dallas gets back. The Jazz receive Jalen Hood-Scafino, the Clippers' 2025 second-round pick, and the Mavericks' 2025 second-round pick. So they were just kind of there. Like Utah was, Danny wanted to get involved. He wanted to have his name on some documentation just to say he was part of this big trade, I guess. Danny was like, hey, don't forget about me over here in Utah, guys. I'm wheeling and dealing still. Hey, anybody interested in Jalen Hood-Scafino? Again, don't know who that is either. And a couple of second-round picks. That's who Utah ends up with. Mavericks GM, Nico Harrison, who is going to be the loneliest man in Dallas here for at least a couple of years if he keeps his job. Nico Harrison, I believe that defense wins championships. Burn. Said this to Tim McMahon at ESPN. I believe getting an all-defensive center and an all-NBA player with a defensive mindset gives us a better chance. We're built to win now and in the future. Oh, God. Wow. What a quote. What a quote. I believe that defense wins championships. And I believe getting an all-defensive NBA center, all-NBA player with a defensive mindset gives us a better chance to win than Luka, who took us to the finals last year and is 25 years old. I still can't believe this. I'm still waiting for the league to come out and veto it or something. Like, you remember when Chris Paul got traded to the Lakers and Stern came out and vetoed the thing? He's just like, nope, not happening, sorry. You get too many good players, LA. We're not going to let you do this. You can't have Chris Paul. We're vetoing the trade, even though both teams agreed to it. Sorry, deal with it. You don't like it, lump it. Take it down the road and dump it. And that's what happened. I'm waiting for that to happen here. I don't think it's going to, but it seems like one of those type of moves. Trade talks, Shams writes, were initiated by Dallas and began a few days ago. Both Harrison and Rob Pelinka, the Lakers' VP of basketball ops and general manager, have a long-standing relationship dating to when Harrison was Kobe Bryant's marketing manager at Nike and Pelinka was Bryant's agent. The Lakers' front office, ownership group, and coaching staff were in alignment on the deal. Gee, you think? They were like, so we're getting Luka Doncic? Yeah, we all agree. This will work for us. Thanks very much. Excited to acquire a young superstar in Doncic while recognizing it takes a lot to get a lot in the NBA. LeBron James learned of the trade when it broke while he was out to dinner with the family on Saturday night after a win against the Knicks in New York. LeBron was surprised by the news, was processing it, and had no idea it was in the works. Davis and Doncic were also not informed of the trade ahead of time. Here's the money part right here. The Mavericks were motivated to move Doncic because of his constant conditioning concerns. There had been significant frustration within the organization about Luka's lack of discipline regarding his diet and conditioning, which team sources considered a major factor in his injury issues. He's actually out right now with a calf strain. Hasn't played since Christmas. So if you're wondering why you haven't seen much of Luka on TV or SportsCenter or however it is that you consume your NBA highlights, that's the reason. He's dealing with another injury. He is flabby and out of shape this year. He always is, really. I mean, even last year in that finals run, he wasn't in any great shape at that time either. Rumors have gone around that he's tipped the scale at 270 pounds this year. I never saw him look that big. 270, that's big. that's like middle linebacker big right there. You know, defensive end bit. 270? That seems exaggerated. But the thing about the conditioning with him is absolutely real. It's an absolutely real thing. And the injury history is what it is. That being said, the level it must have risen to in Dallas for them to make a trade like this. Usually a player like Luka, you would expect gets like auctioned off, you know, like, all right, here he is. Luka's on the block and we'll take the best offer for him. And you dangle him out there and you sit back and wait for the offers to roll in. I don't think that happened here. It doesn't seem like it happened here. It seemed like Pelinka and Harrison got together with Harrison bringing this amazing gift to Pelinka and the Lakers and them accepting it. That's what it seems like. There's more. Though Doncic was relatively svelte by his standards when he reported to camp, his weight ballooned to the high 260s early this season, sources said. 260s.
His listed weight is 230 pounds.
Okay. That, I mean, listen, even that's pretty big, you know, for a guy his size. You know, it's not like he's Shaq. He's just, you know, he's a 6'8", 6'7", whatever he is, a guard forward wing hybrid. Who's not exactly a post player or anything, but he's big and he's strong and he can, you know, create off the dribble. Very creative player. Got up to the 260s, according to Dallas, which, by the way, that's where all this is coming from. He sat out 5 games in late November when the Mavericks listed him with a sprained right wrist and extended absence to allow him to focus on his conditioning. He had a similar early season layoff in 2022. Doncic limited to 22 games this season because of a variety of injuries. He's twice strained his calf since reporting to Dallas before training camp in late September, though the Mavericks reported the fall injury only as a calf contusion. This is going to go down and is already being discussed as the biggest trade, the biggest blockbuster trade in the history of the NBA. There have been other very big trades. You know, Shaq getting traded. The Bill Russell trade. Which Bill Russell was drafted by St. Louis and the Brett Auerbach sent over Easy Ed McCauley and somebody else. I forget who the other guy was. Not like I remembered it from back then. I was not born yet, but, you know, you read about these things. And it was considered one of the most impactful trades based on how that ended up going and how Bill Russell became this dominant figure. But people at the time didn't know that it was going to be the biggest trade, you know, one of the biggest trades ever. No one knew that it would be that impactful. Celtics drafted Casey Jones that year. They had the provincial drafts back then where you could just draft people who played in your state, so they got Tommy Heinsohn that way too. So it was Jones, Heinsohn, Bill Russell. Russell obviously being the big one. That was a huge, huge trade back in the 50s. Anthony Davis has been traded before. His trade to the Lakers for Lonzo Ball and like the whole team basically, that was a huge trade. Kevin Durant getting traded multiple times, pretty big. James Harden getting traded after an MVP season. There have been other big trades. Recently, there have been other big trades. And I'm not talking about like Westbrook for Chris Paul, where, you know, the guys are good players, not great. And you can tell it's just sort of two disgruntled guys with big contracts and they're trying to swap them back and forth. That's not what this is. Those were all big moves, obviously. But that's not what this is. This is, I think, for the Lakers, a pivot of sorts. I don't know how well Luka and LeBron are going to work together. I don't know how much longer LeBron James plans on playing. He got his season with his son, right? I mean, that was his final frontier, wasn't it? Before whatever it is that he does now, he rides off into the sunset. And now the Lakers, the Los Angeles flipping Lakers, have a new young star to build around for the next, I don't know, decade, assuming they give him that Supermax contract, which they're going to. You don't trade all that for... They only had to give up the one first-round pick in 2029, so maybe it's not as much that they're giving up as I'm giving them credit for. But that is quite the coup there from the L.A. Lakers. And for the Dallas Mavericks, selling this to that fan base, you were in the finals last year. You beat those two. You breezed through those Western Conference teams. Maybe you didn't breeze through them, but you beat them. And yeah, you didn't have much of a chance against the Celtics. No one was going to have much of a chance against the Celtics. You added in the offseason. Yes, Jacob.
I've seen that a lot of Mavericks fans are actually pretty excited about this deal because of the center depth that AD gives them.
Really? They're excited about the center depth. What do you know, like Dallas? Are you just talking about people you see online, or do you know people from Dallas?
Just people online.
I would imagine most Dallas fans are not happy about that. I just can't imagine that they're happy about this. Maybe they're frustrated by Luka and the conditioning. Maybe they. You remember last year after they won the Western Conference Finals when Luka was drinking the beer, Michael Finley comes takes the beer from him. You know, remember that? Like, I don't know. I don't know if it's the eating, if it's the drinking, or what the deal is. But in Dallas, it came to a head. It came to a head, and they decided, you know what? Rather than sink our future into this guy, into this 25-year-old superstar, top five finalist in the MVP race three times, all NBA, one of the most exciting, brash young players in the entire league. No, no, no. We're going to try and win now with Anthony Davis and Kyrie. That's what they're doing. That is remarkable. We're going to spend a lot of time on this here today. We got other things to get to for sure. Patriots news, the Bruins with a nice win yesterday that they desperately, desperately needed. We'll get to all of that. Also, the Celtics winning on a buzzer beater two nights ago. They're back in action later on this afternoon, taking on the Sixers at 6 o'clock. But we're going to be sticking right here with this for a lot of the day. I'm here till 11. We'll get you going as well on the phones at 617-779-7937. Luka Doncic traded to the Lakers. What does that mean for teams like the Celtics? What does that mean for the rest of the league? What does that mean for Dallas and LA? We'll get to all of that with your phone calls right after Jacob gets you caught up on.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
What's trending? That was a fun one the other night. Boston Celtics coming away with a buzzer-beating win over the New Orleans Pelicans down at the Smoothie King Center. It's Christian Arkin, Sunday Mass. Nice to have you with us here today. Phone number 617-779-7937. We're going pretty heavy NBA here this first hour. I do want to talk Celtics. And I see some Celtics calls on the line, so I'll get to them in just a minute. This was a win that the Celtics obviously needed. You don't want to lose any of these games, especially to a shorthanded team like New Orleans. No Ingram. No Zion. DeJounte Murray got hurt and tore his ACL, whatever it was, tore his Achilles right in the middle of the game there. That was too bad. No Herbert Jones, who I really like. Good defensive player. Guy can shoot some threes a little bit. And it still was a real nail biter at the end there, you know? Like, you have Troy Murphy going off for 40 points. Just the latest random guy to go completely nuts against the Celtics. Him, Dylan Brooks, you know, Amen Thompson, the rest of these guys. It's been a weird year like that. Celtics have been getting the best games from a lot of these guys. The Celtics were fully healthy, too, in that game, by the way. Clean sheet, and I believe they have another clean sheet here against the Sixers. I think Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, who Jaylen Brown had a tremendous game. He was very, very good. Jason Tatum was good, not great until the end when he hit that buzzer beater, which I want to get to that in a second, too, because that was nice to see. Not exactly the most natural thing in the world for him to do, and you haven't seen a lot of that this year. Crunch time, I feel like, the Celtics in 2025 and earlier on this year before the before New Year's had been not really a fun team to watch in crunch time. It had been a bit of a struggle, a bit of a hassle watching this team down the stretch, watching them try and execute. So to see Jason Tatum hit that shot, and did you see that video, Jacob, where it's a shot from like the sideline, and after Tatum hits the shot, he like looks right into the camera, and he jumps over and does a chest bump with Al Horford. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Inspirational.
It really is. They've already made like fake commercials out of it. Like it's very cold, as the kids say. That was cool. And he needs to put the month of January behind him, and December really, for that matter. You got to put that stuff behind you, because those were two pretty down months for both Tatum and Brown. Not enough to get them traded to the Lakers, but certainly enough to get people's attention and enough to drop the Celtics down a tier. These last 2 months, the Celtics have fallen out of the conversation of the best teams in the league. And not that they're a bad team, but the two best teams in the league are on their own level. The Celtics are on a level below that. They're down there with the Knicks and, you know, the Rockets and some of these other teams here. But it's a two-team race right now in the NBA. The Celtics, over the course of December and January, played themselves out of that conversation, which I was not expecting. I really wasn't. I wasn't expecting them to be out of that conversation really at all this year. I thought this was going to be the type of year, the type of season, where your Boston Celtics are setting the pace for everybody. And maybe that was unfair to have those expectations. I don't think so. Not the way that last year went. Not the way the offseason went. Not the way they were able to bring everybody back. I mean, the whole team's basically here still. You didn't really lose anybody. You were able to re-sign or retain just about every player who contributed anything to that team last year. And here we are. How's everyone feeling about this dynasty right now, by the way? And are we still calling it a dynasty? Are we still calling these Celtics a potential dynasty? I am. I'm still referring to them that way because I still think they are the one team. They're a tier below Cleveland and Oklahoma City right now, but they're still the one team that I think has dynasty potential. In an era of NBA basketball where there's a new champion every year and there's wild trades going on in LA and Dallas, I still think that the Boston Celtics, your Boston Celtics, are the most dynasty-ready team that's out there in the league. If they're not, if they're a one-and-done, I was thinking about this last night. I was thinking about one-and-dones over the course of NBA history, some of them who were lucky to be there, some of whom were pretty disappointing that they only won the one. You could say that about a few of these recently, like the Denver Nuggets, for example, the Milwaukee Bucks. And they may not be one-and-dones. They're still sort of writing their story. But if they end up being one-and-dones, that's pretty disappointing. Nikola Jokic, a three-time MVP. Giannis, multiple MVPs. A team like the 2004 Pistons, not a disappointing one-and-done. They went in there and they beat the Lakers. Like, that was, you know, Ben Wallace and Rip Hamilton and Chauncey Billups and those guys. They shouldn't have been there. There's no reason for them to be in the finals that year. But they made it, and they won. That was an inspirational one-and-done type of story. You know who one of the most disappointing one-and-dones in the history of the NBA is, in my opinion, is the 2008 Celtics. And I'm sorry to Scal, and I'm sorry to Eddie House, and I'm sorry to, you know, Leon Poe and anybody else who's around here living in the area who may be hearing this right now. And listen, I have love for all three of those guys and everybody on that team. It's one of my favorite teams of all time. But didn't we all think they were going to win more than one? I did. I think a lot of people did. And they almost did. They almost repeated. They almost, well, they didn't almost repeat, but they almost got back there and won again. Lost to Kobe. They got beat by Dwight Howard in the Eastern Conference Finals that one year as well. And they had injuries to Garnett, and they had injuries to Kendrick Perkins. And, you know, it wasn't all just the guys out there coming up short. Like, there were extenuating circumstances. But I think even with that, people expected, I expected, that they would be, when that big three got together, it wasn't exactly not one, not two, not three, not four. But I think we all thought they'd be more than a one and done. In the NBA, being a one-and-done has a weird stigma attached to it. You want to win championships, obviously, and for guys like Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen, all three of those guys, they never won one before. They were in their 30s. It was important to just get that one. But the way that it all came together, the way it sort of set the standard for what was going to happen next with LeBron, by the way, LeBron left Cleveland because of the Celtics. People have tried to sort of spin that historically. That's why. That's when LeBron realized, you know, I'm not going to be able to do this here. I'm not going to be able to get past these guys on my own. I need to put something together. And that team was a one-and-done champion. Now, if these Celtics here now, are one-and-dones, I'd find that to be more disappointing than the 08 team. Because the 08 team, at the very least, you could say were in their 30s. This is a team full of players in their prime. Players in their prime who are just now getting signed to long-term contracts that are going to keep them in Boston, presumably. Although these days, who knows? Presumably keep them in Boston for however long, you know, 6-7 years. These contracts, they go for a while. This is most of your career. You're going to be here. And in the 2025, that's a big deal. If they're a one and done, that's worse than the 08 team, that's for sure. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We see your Celtics calls lining up already. Let's go ahead and take one. Eddie is in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Eddie.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
All the Luka stuff. Think about it. Hey, good morning to you, too. Think about that. The Luka trade. They traded him, a 25-year-old guy, for a 32-year-old that has been known to be hurt and to be out.
Yep.
And this guy's 25, already just went to the finals.
Also gets hurt a lot, though.
Well, yeah, but he is overweight. But if you just said to him, it's like, oh, I didn't realize that. It's like, really? You think so? It's like, yeah, hey, Luca, look. Here's pictures of you 10 years ago. And here's pictures of you right now, right? Like,
yeah.
Oh, I
the
get
old before
it.
And after trick. Yeah, sure, right, of course.
So now I know what you're talking about. It's like, oh, I get it. Oh, yeah, back then it was easier, dude. He's got stories on whatever you could tell from the decade, right?
Yeah, sure. Eddie, thanks.
Yeah,
definitely. Eddie, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Eddie having a good morning, it sounds like, up in New Hampshire. Living free, like they like to do up there. Luka Doncic getting traded at the age of 25 is, according to Brian Windhorst, and we'll play this clip for you in just a minute, he said it was a stunning rejection of Luka by the Dallas Mavericks. Do we have that cut? Jacob, listen to this.
This is not really about the Lakers. It's not really about LeBron. This is about the Dallas Mavericks and Luka Doncic. The focus in the league is the Dallas Mavericks' decision to trade Luka Doncic here. This is basically a rebuke of him. This is them saying that they don't think they can win with him. They're worried about the kind of defense he plays. They're worried about the kind of way he keeps himself in condition. They're worried, obviously, about his ability to focus at the biggest moments.
That last part I heard and I said, what? Inability to focus? This guy is a killer at the end of these games in the biggest moments. Luka doesn't focus at the end of games? How many times has Luka beat the Celtics on a buzzer beater? Right? They don't even play each other that much. But I feel like every time they play each other, in the regular season anyway, here comes Luka.
How many times has he beaten everybody on a buzzer beater, Arkand?
Seriously. The defense and the conditioning, fine. I'd buy that. They're worried about his focus in the biggest moments. What are you talking about? In the biggest moments, he's a killer. He is he's an assassin. Just, you know what I mean? People are talking about him like he's A.C. Earl or Oliver Miller or one of these just random fat guys who, you know, just ate their way out of the league. Like, he's still a brilliant player. And this may end up catching up with him, this weight and conditioning and all that. I mean, he's 25 years old. I think that's troubling, sure, if I'm the GM of a team, if I'm one of these people in Dallas or wherever else. But it's a risk that you take. I mean, you still, you still build around a guy like him. You try and surround him with the right type of people. Now, maybe they've been doing that in Dallas, and they just can't. He's not getting through to him. He just doesn't get it. There's no way to snap him out of it. He just can't stop eating. He can't stop partying or whatever. I don't know anything. I'm just speculating here. But right? I mean, what else could it be? How could you go from the NBA Finals, where Luka took you there, to not even the trade deadline? We're not even at the deadline yet. A move like this for the team that made it to the finals the year prior, and who has, for the last 6 years, I would say, since he got to the league, have been trying to build a team around him to be successful, and then they finally did. I didn't think when they brought Kyrie in there, I didn't think that was going to work. I thought him and Luka weren't going to work. I don't know. It's Kyrie. Whatever works with Kyrie. Other than when he played with LeBron in Cleveland, when's anything ever worked with that guy? But it did. They had a thing going there. It wasn't perfect, but considering their skill sets, considering what they're both all about like that, that was a pretty nice little duo there. And they were building around those two. You know, they brought in players this year. They have some center depth already. I mean, they have Derek Lively and these other guys. Like, it's not like they don't have anybody in the middle. But now they have Anthony Davis. Kyrie, Anthony Davis. I'll tell you, I mean, I don't think that makes them a bad team, but I do think both teams kind of got worse here. I think the Lakers got worse. I think the Mavericks got worse. How's that possible? you trade Luka Doncic and Anthony Davis, and somehow it makes both teams, I think, a little bit worse. Anthony Davis complimented LeBron in many, many ways. What Nico Collins was talking about there is true. He's a defensive-minded big. He can score. He can shoot threes. He's a great player. I mean, Anthony Davis is a great guy to build around. The Celtics wanted him. They wanted him for years. In fact, Danny Ainge's dream was to get Kyrie and Anthony Davis. You remember that? That was like his big thing. I don't know if they're friends or what, but he wanted to get them together. He wanted Davis in Boston with Kyrie, and they just never could figure it out. And also, Anthony Davis's father hated Boston. You know why? Because they traded Isaiah Thomas, and he was so loyal to them and so great to them. I wonder what Anthony Davis's father's thinking about this. can we hear from him? I'd like to hear from him. I'd like to know what's on his mind. Anthony Davis Sr., whatever his name is. Because he definitely had takes on the Isaiah Thomas trade. Yes, Jacob.
Jackson Hayes is now the Lakers' starting center.
Jackson Hayes. Okay. Oh, boy. I mean, listen, the Lakers, I don't think this was like a win now type of move. I think the Lakers are pivoting here. This is a franchise pivot. I think they've realized they've hit the limit of what they're going to get out of LeBron and Davis. I don't think that duo is ever going to win anything. They won in the bubble, but I don't think they're ever going to win again. I think they probably know that. I think that's, for all you say about the Lakers and some of the moves that they make, they're not stupid. They see the writing on the wall. But the fact that the Mavericks came to them with this, that they were very clandestine about it, they didn't make a whole big thing about putting Luka out there in the trade block. And maybe they thought if they did, then everyone would see the concerns that they had about his conditioning and that they'd lowball him or what. They'd lowball him for a trade or whatever. But I don't think that, if that's what they thought, that's really stupid. I think that's really stupid. You don't think there's teams out there that could have given you more than Anthony Davis and a 2029 first round pick? That's all they got. That's really all they get. I'm shocked that was agreed upon. I'm shocked that they agreed to move him for that. They didn't treat it like they had a big asset that other people wanted. They treated it like they needed to get rid of him, and they'll take whatever you're going to give us. And we don't even want to really go out on the market. We just want to get this done quickly. And, you know, if you can throw in a first-round pick in 2029, that'd be great. Doesn't seem like they drove that hard of a bargain. Doesn't really seem like two MVP candidates just got traded. I'm trying to remember another trade in any sport that had two top 10, top 15 guys going like this. And I'm not, it's hard. It's hard to think of it. Even in, you know, in baseball, you know, Juan Soto getting traded, that was a big one. Mookie getting traded. Mookie didn't get traded for anything big. Clemens going to Toronto for, or no, going to the Yankees for David Wells. That was kind of a big one. back in the Major League Baseball and football. I don't know. I mean, there was the Herschel Walker trade. That's the one everyone talks about. But I don't know. Maybe like Clinton Portis for Champ Bailey or something like that. But even that's nothing compared to this. This is monumental. This is one of those trades that just you can almost not even wrap your head around. Just imagine, Celtics fans, if you woke up this morning and found out that the Celtics traded Jason Tatum to the Lakers for Anthony Davis, because that's what happened. I mean, that's what happened in Dallas. He was their Jason Tatum. He was their Michael Jordan. He was their everything. And they were so worried about his conditioning. Oh, it must have gotten bad. It must have gotten to the point where they gave him some kind of ultimatum, some sort of weight thing. I don't know anything. I'm just spitballing here. Like, how do you get to this point? They must have really tried. A 25-year-old with 2 years left on his deal. That's the other thing. He's got two more years. Or no, maybe not. Maybe he only has the 1 year and then he's eligible for the Supermax. Maybe that's it. And they weren't coming to an agreement there. But either way, that's a guy who signed to a Supermax. And then you deal with the conditioning after you've inked him. And if it doesn't work out, well, you know what? He was your guy and he was the best player on the team by far, one of the best players in the league, and you just sort of stick it out. To say that this is a win now move and that defense wins championships is such a shot. Defense, I guess, wins championships, sure. But you know what helps? Having an all-time scorer, one of the great scorers maybe in the league right now and maybe ever when all is said and done. And a guy that really no one has figured out how to contain or deal with yet in his 6 years in the league. I still can't believe this. I'm trying to think of other trades. Shaq to Miami, that was a big one.
The Wayne Gretzky trade.
Gretzky getting traded, that was a big one, sure. Yeah, Gretzky trade was a big one. I don't want to say it's unprecedented. Nothing's unprecedented, but there's aspects of this trade that I don't think the league has ever seen before. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones. Gene is in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Gene.
Am I on?
Yes, go ahead, Gene.
You know, in 1975, the Bucks traded Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to the Lakers, and they
it's
got,
always the Lakers. You notice that it's always the Lakers.
They got Elmore Smith, Brian Winters, Junior Bridgman, and Dave Myers.
Mm-hmm.
That trade was huge for the time, and the Lakers went on to win five championships from that. That might rival this one.
In terms of impact, I'd say it would. I mentioned the Bill Russell trade, too. I think when Red traded for Russell in St. Louis in the 50s, that ended up being a massively impactful trade, too. And Kareem is a big star. Kareem's as big a star, or he was then, as Luka is now, probably bigger. But the return wasn't as big. They didn't get Anthony Davis back for it. You know what I mean? Like that's what sets this apart, I think.
Yeah. All right, I'll continue to listen. Thank you very
much.
Thank
you, Gene. I appreciate that. Gene in Rhode Island, ladies and gentlemen. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. It's a good one. I hadn't thought of that one. Kareem getting traded from the Bucks to the Lakers. The return, I don't think, rises to the level of an Anthony Davis like we're seeing here. Those guys that you just named, I don't know, maybe they were good back in the 70s. I have no idea. I didn't recognize any of those names. But fair enough if that's the way you want to go. And also in terms of impact, sure. Impactfully, that was a huge one. We don't know what the impact of this trade is yet. All we're really judging it is on the shock and awe of it all. And from a shock and awe perspective, I don't know. I mean, this might be the biggest trade of my life. Like, honestly, it might be. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, the Boston Bruins will take an NBA break. We will get back to it, though. Don't worry. We'll keep the phone lines open. If you want to chime in on this trade or on the Celtics, we'll let you do that at 617-779-7937. But I'd remiss if I did not mention that your Boston Bruins had a very nice showing last night or yesterday afternoon against the New York Rangers, who they do have to play again before this Four Nations tournament. We'll get to that. Some Bruins thoughts as well right after this. Hour number two, Sunday Mass, Reverend Arcan. Nice to have you with us here this morning. Phone number 617-779-7937. David Pasternak, who has been really putting a Herculean effort out there lately. And it hasn't always been matched by his teammates. Last night didn't need to, or yesterday afternoon, I should say. As he nets a hat trick, Bruins bounce back. They beat the New York Blue Shirts here, who are not very good this year. I mean, let's be honest. The Rangers are not really the Rangers. They did just make a big trade, and JT Miller looked pretty good in blue, I'll tell you that. But it didn't matter, as the Bruins were able to handle that team and do what they've kind of been doing, which is beat up on bad teams, for the most part, Buffalo excluded. And that's why I think that was such a shock to everybody, seeing them get beat up by them like that. But usually they beat the teams like that. They beat the lower-level Eastern Conference or Western Conference teams, and then they have trouble with the really good ones. And the good and bad news of that is that they have New York again. That's the good news before Four Nations. But they also have Vegas, and they also have Minnesota. And those are two of the best teams in the Western Conference. So these last three games before the break are going to be interesting for a lot of reasons. The main one being that this could be the last we see of them before it's time to get real serious about the trade deadline. The Four Nations thing lasts a few weeks. I mean, you get a long break there. And then before you know it, you get back onto the ice, and trade deadline's right up in your rearview mirror. So this could be when those decisions get made. This could be when Don Sweeney or whoever it is that is involved, Zdeno Chara, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly who's going to be the point man on this thing. I'd imagine it'll be Sweeney. But if they're blowing it up, if they're, how'd Cam Neely put it, if they're retooling as opposed to adding, then I wonder how Sweeney's going to deal with that. I wonder how that's going to go. The Rangers, by the way. I remember Razor came on with Keefe and Jones recently, and they discussed Brad Marchand. And Razor kept saying over and over and over again, no, you don't trade the captain. You're not trading the captain. Teams don't trade their captains. Didn't the Rangers trade their captain this year? Wasn't Jacob Trouba? He's their captain, right? He got traded.
Yes.
So, captains do get traded. Two other Bruins captains have been traded, by the way. Joe Thornton and Ray Bourque both got traded. They were captains. I know it's not the exact apples-to-apples comparison of Brad Marchand, and neither's Trouba, for that matter. But captains do get traded. I mean, they just played a team last night that traded their captain. You know, like, I was thinking about that. I remember that. I was like, where's Trouba? Oh, right, yeah, he's in Anaheim. Oh, yeah, right, he was the captain. Oh, yeah, right, he got traded. And then I thought, oh, yeah, I should talk about this tomorrow and rip on Razor for it. Anyway, there you go. Four Nations coming up. I was asked yesterday, who are the Four Nations? And I froze. I was like, I got two of them. I got U.S. and Canada for sure. And then Sweden and Finland, I think, are the other two?
That's right.
I looked it up, but yeah, it's Sweden and Finland. I froze. I wanted to be like, Russia? Like, I didn't know. I had no idea. I knew the two. I knew U.S. and Canada. So at the very least, I was getting the 50% answer right there. But yeah, the other two nations, I froze up. I thought maybe like Czech Republic or something. I definitely thought Russia would be in there. But no, it is Sweden, Finland, U.S. and Canada. And it should be a lot of fun. I'm probably not going to watch too much of it. But that's in terms of these, you know, mid-season things, like I'll take that over the Pro Bowl and that stupid flag football game they're playing today. I'll take that over most every part of the NBA All-Star weekend, except for the dunk contest, which also sucks, but I still watch it. Baseball, you know, home run derby isn't what it used to be. So I don't know. I'll probably check it out. I'll tune in here and there, but I'm not that into it. I don't think it's that great. That being said, one other hockey thing I wanted to just mention before we get to your phone calls here. Did you guys hear Canada booing the anthem? Up in Ottawa. I forget who the Senators were playing. They were playing a U.S. team. And they started in with the Star-Spangled Banner. And Canada, Canadians, famously the most polite people in the whole world, started booing. I don't know. I don't know about that. Listen, there's not a lot of sports-related things that get my antenna up politically, you know? Like, every once in a while, there's some story where there's the intersection of politics, you know, like Kaepernick or something like that. It's not often, though, that it really intersects in a way that gets my attention. Hockey fans booing the anthem got my attention, you know? Like, for better or for worse. I don't know how that's going to play out. I don't know how that's going to go, but to hear them, they're mad about those tariffs, boy. And you know what's funny is that everybody in Canada hates them. I have some people I know live up there, and the conservatives don't like it, and the liberals don't like it. Nobody in Canada likes this. They're all very upset about it, and they're booing the national anthem.
And the Senators won 6-0 against the Wild after that.
Damn. They're pumped up. Charged up. Anyway, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. There's your Bruins Minute. We'll get back to your phone calls here. Matt is in Rhode Island. He has a thought on the Luka Doncic trade. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, thanks, Arkan. But anything is possible because Razor got traded from the Keith show to the afternoon show. So, but as far as this trade goes, with Luka getting hurt like in December, the only thing I could be thinking is if he just went completely off the reservation and was eating pounds of Naki, that he could be like over 300 pounds and completely out of shape, and that's what they're looking at. But even with that being said, like, you can get anyone in the NBA, if a real trade-for-trade, superstar for superstar, and then you get Anthony Davis, I'm not sure if the Mavs are aware of this, but he's as soft as puppy poop. He's always injured. So I don't know what he's really going to do for them. And he's a talented player, but all his money's in the bank. Like, as far as compete level, as far as wanting to win, I don't think he's much right now.
Yeah, but maybe. Thank you for the call, Matt. Appreciate that. Appreciate you checking in. Anthony Davis is a guy who's hurt all the time. That's true. He's always in street clothes, it seems like. Luke has been hurt a lot of this year. I mean, he hasn't played since Christmas, so that tells you something there. It's over a month. I don't think that Davis is soft. He gets banged up, but I think he's a tough player when he's out there. And in fairness, he's been better about that, I think, in recent years. I think he missed the last game, though. He's got something going on. I mean, listen, all these guys have nagging injuries. We're at that point now. Load management or not, you're still going to be missing some games. I wonder if there was something else with Luka. I wonder if there was some other kind of scandal or something that we're about to hear about. Something like that. It just doesn't make sense otherwise. It really doesn't. It doesn't make sense that they looked at his eating and conditioning and said, there's no way that we could build around this guy anymore. We've had him here for 6 years. He's 25 years old. He just took us to the NBA Finals, but it's just not going to work. Like, what a conclusion to come to. You know what I mean? Like, that's a wild, wild conclusion. I wonder if there's more to the story. I wonder if there's more that'll come out, or maybe the details of it was, here, we're trading you. You shut up about this, and we'll shut up about that. And that's how it works. You know, Malcolm Butler style. You did something wrong. We did something wrong. We'll both keep our mouths shut and no one's ever going to find out. And it'll be one of those, you know, maybe it could be something like that. I have no idea, but it does seem like there has to be another element to this. It can't just be he was eating too much. Now, Luka Doncic is from Slovenia, and I didn't know this, but my good friend, one of my best friends from high school, married a Slovenian girl. They met in Washington, D.C., and they got married in Slovenia. We all went to Slovenia for the wedding. And Slovenia is right on the Italy line. It's right on the border. In fact, we were crossing the border back and forth between Slovenia and Italy. It's like in the wine region, you know, where all these really, really beautiful vineyards are in that area of Slovenia and that part of Italy. And, well, I'll tell you, we were eating like we've never eaten in my entire life. Like, I was going nuts at the at that wedding, food wise. So I understand. I mean, you know, you're right there. You're Italy adjacent. You're gonna eat. You're gonna have a big appetite. And clearly, Luka does. And now he's in Dallas, and you know, I'm sure he's down there eating T-bone steaks and whatever else is on the menu down there in Big D. Everything's bigger in Dallas. We know that, including Luka Doncic. So we'll see. Maybe he goes out to L.A. Starts meeting up with those wellness people, gets on Ozempic or something like that, and, you know, he's back and looking svelte and slim again, setting scoring records, maybe winning an MVP. We'll see. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's take one more call here, Jacob. JP is in North Providence. What's up, JP?
Reverend, great to hear you in the morning, or minister. I don't know which one you can use on that channel. This move is almost as big as when Arcan and Jones went to 103.7. Talk about shaking up the league. I've got a couple of conspiracies on it.
Okay, let's hear it.
He's ready to, well, he can't coexist with Kyrie, which has been known to happen.
Right.
Or if one shoe falls, there's another shoe falling. Did Jimmy Butler sign overnight that I missed?
Jimmy Butler is not signed anywhere. He's still in limbo, yeah.
Watch for him going to L.A.,
okay.
And then LeBron's going to move on. They're not going to sign him. They need a big name, a big star to put in the seats. And then the other me, isn't Cuban trying to unload the Mavericks? If that's been out there, he's been trying to sell it.
He did already. Like he's not in charge of the Mavericks anymore. He doesn't own the Mavericks anymore.
Oh, nothing.
I think he's like a he still owns like a small piece of them. I think he's like in that Wick Grosbeck spot where thanks for the call, by the way, JP.
Oh,
I think
Tom
he's in
Brady.
That yeah, or like that. I don't know if he's a minority owner or if he sold the team, but he stays on as like the governor or something like that. He needs to, I'll look up exactly what it is, but it's something like that. He's not, he sold the team or he's not the full owner anymore. And I would imagine that if he still was, this trade doesn't happen. The Cuban doesn't let a 25-year-old superstar go like that. No way. Not in this fashion. Absolutely not. I would imagine Mark Cuban would have driven a much harder bargain if he even makes the trade at all, which he probably wouldn't. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll continue with your phone calls here. Got some football thoughts to get to as well. We'll reset on the Boston Celtics and their win over the Pelicans. They got a game coming up later today against the Sixers, who just beat them very recently. And we're also, of course, continuing to monitor all the fallout from the Luka Doncic, Anthony Davis, Lakers-Mavericks trade. That's all coming up in the final hour here at Sunday Mass.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, it's Mark Schlereth of the Stinky Truth Podcast. The NFL playoffs are here, and I'll be breaking down every matchup as we get toward the big game. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I on the Stinky Truth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.